Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by The CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free the next day on The CW app.
Did you know that Josie McCoy is moving to New York City?
New York City, baby.
You could even say it's the fifth character.
Oh.
You will say that.
To be
welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And Rita Ora just launched, it's not Monday, but this just happened. Rita Ora just launched a home goods line. Well, it's not even launched yet. It's launching in 2 days and like 6 minutes.
She's
or something. There's a countdown.
Her Casa Zeta Jones dreams a reality.
Let's not speak about Casa Zeta Jones is in mourning right now.
Oh, so my God. Yeah, that's going to take up so much of her time for the next at least 6 months to a year.
She's going to release like Kirk Douglas body pillows, like the Kirk collection with the K.
What if she like performs the Ten Commandments like as a tree? Like what if she does like Spartacus? Wait, did he do Spartacus? What if she performs?
Ten Commandments was Charlton Heston's husband. Same guy. He's bad too.
What if she like performs Spartacus as like a tribute?
But they're all going to be her. It's going to be CGI. And it's
gonna
be like, I'm Spartacus.
Yes.
But it's all Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
Also, we can be lighthearted about the death of Kirk Douglas. A, because he likely sucked. And B, because he was 103 years old. It's okay that he died.
He lived a long and fruitful life, including all the problematic things he definitely probably did. Look it up.
The point is, Catherine Zeta-Jones has done nothing but take photographs with Kirk Douglas for the past 20 years, and the one that she used to mourn him publicly on Instagram is arguably one of the worst ones I've ever seen, if not the worst one I've ever seen of the two of them together.
I also just have this, okay, this is a little bit like problematic. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not.
No, but my thing is just like, I think about like, he lasted so much longer than like, the life expectancy of like a normal adult human being that like she's had to put up with. She's had to put up with this person, like in her father-in-law, like just honoring him and hanging out with him and whatever for so much longer than she needed to. I almost feel like a sympathy for her. You know,
like Michael Douglas is saying, yeah, we'll go on that vacation with my when my dad dies. He's really hanging on. But he said this in 1999.
Right. And her husband's already like older. Right. So she's got like an older husband and also an older father-in-law, like who are sticking around.
I'm just saying we are going to have a period of mourning and then there will be a period of Zeta-Jones naissance where she is going to reclaim her life.
I hope so. I mean, she's not getting
Sure that I hope so, but I wouldn't be mad about it.
She deserves it at this point. She's put up with this.
She does deserve it. Having to put up with the Douglas family.
Why are we talking about her now? We were talking about Rita Ora's bedding line.
Because I said that Rita Ora's bedding line is like Casa Zeta-Jones took a pill in Ibiza. It's like any celebrity bedding line, which is like cheaply made, looks good in a photograph, but completely impractical and probably falls apart in 2 seconds.
I just don't get who is buying bedding. Who is buying bedding from Rita Ora?
All of these things have little embroideries on it. They're all going
to
fall
off. Everything that Rita Ora has sold to date, I understand. Shoes, liquor. What else?
Lindsay, use your line. An amazing line, Lindsay said in text to me earlier.
No, well, I'm getting there. Everything that Rita Ora has sold to this point, I've understood. Shoes, liquor, clothes, beauty, like makeup, fashion, whatever. But Rita Ora is never home. That is her number two, like, identifying thing. She's not home. She's on tour. She's working. She's the busiest woman in show business. That is.
She's never home.
So how is this woman who is never home supposed to tell me about home decor? I think not.
I mean, it'd be one thing if the concept was like
stuff for your hotel room. I don't know.
She says, as I have a hectic schedule, I love being able to relax in beautiful bedding, and the collection encapsulates luxury, style, and comfort.
I mean, she's definitely been in a lot of hotel rooms. No, I didn't mean that rudely. You get my, she's travels
no, no
a lot.
One gets, no one thinks she meant it rudely. But I,
it makes
I
it sound
think
like I'm
there,
shaming her like some granny.
There's a way in conceptually, but I still don't really care.
Right, like,
you know?
The story
and she also
is,
didn't go with that concept.
The story is there if you look for it. They definitely thought about this, but the story does not make sense. And also, we don't make sense because we're talking about this not in ruts Rita Ora up to. So we need to.
So I don't want my home to look like a hotel room. That's the whole point of a hotel room, is that it's a novel. It's that it's special. It's not home. It's better than home.
Here's my pitch. If Rita Ora did launch a line that looked like a hotel room, I would understand that concept and people might be into it because it's unique and it speaks to her personal experience, unlike this, which is crazy bed.
You know what the concept would be? The concept would be like Chateau Rita. Like, it would be as if Rita Ora had a hotel and this was the bedding slash robe slash loungewear that you were given in the Rita Ora hotel. I would be into that.
I feel like there's so many things that Rita could be selling that make sense for her. And this one is like at the fully the bottom of the list. I can't think of anything further down the list than this for Rita Ora.
I mean,
to
maybe
be selling.
Rita Ora is not allowed to sell the Kirk Douglas body pillow.
Oh my God.
Apart from that, she can do everything.
Okay.
Welcome to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619 Who Them. We have comments, we have questions, we have Who Were Them. We have a comment that Lindsay told me not to play, and I stood my ground, and I said, I haven't heard it,
but I'm like, already, I read it, you wrote it out, and I'm like...
She said, don't play it, and I said, I'm playing, because I have 50% share in our media company.
It's true. We didn't do 51-49 like they told us to.
51-49. Okay, here we go. Listen.
Bobby, I had to stop the podcast, because you just corrected yourself from saying... I could care less to I couldn't care less, and you corrected yourself. That is my entire life mission. People say it wrong all the time. It makes no sense to say you could care less, because if you do, then you care less. When you correct people, they're like, no, you're wrong. I've had to explain this to so many people, and it is like my life's work to make sure that it does not happen. It drives me nuts. So like, this is completely insane and everything, but I just want to say like, thank you for knowing the difference, because, okay. Thank you very much. I actually genuinely appreciate it. I love what you did. Also, love you both. Bye.
Oh my God.
It's one of my pet peeves. And so the reason I brought it up is because I thought it would be an interesting thought starter. Are there any sayings like
thoughts?
This that people get wrong that bug you, that bugs you?
First of all, it's almost like you're trolling me, because you know that I get most sayings wrong. So it's like,
I'm not trolling you.
Yeah, you are. I'm like, I get most sayings wrong, so I don't know what sayings are correct. But for this one, I agree that I could care less makes no sense, but it's the colloquial version of I couldn't care less. Do you know what I mean? So people say it still.
It really bugs me. And that's why when I said it wrong, I was like, oh God, I'm so ashamed.
I'm not saying that it's right. It doesn't make sense. But some things, you know, they get like, they get kind of turned over to just being, they don't necessarily make sense, but they're just the colloquial version of the original. They're, you know, it's like.
What you're saying is it's not right, but it's okay.
Yeah, I am.
That's what you're saying.
I understand it. Yeah, I think we should be saying I couldn't care less, because you're supposed to be saying there is no way that I could possibly care less.
I would say couldn't care less is the who, and could care less is the them, because I feel like the wrong one is more common.
The wrong one is certainly more common.
Could care less, them. Couldn't care less, who.
Right.
Hi, guys. This is going to be a deranged call. I was at an event last week, and Sophia the robot was there. So I met her, and all these people were trying to meet her. And my friend said to her, is Jenny the coolest person you know? I'm Jenny. Said, is Jenny the coolest person you know? And Sophia said, I'm laughing on the inside. And I don't like Sophia. I don't know. Don't like her. I was really uncomfortable. And we walked away. And she seemed lifelike, and I didn't like it. Okay. Bye.
What was it? TumblrCon? Like with the ball pit? What was it?
Yeah.
You're just like, no, with fucked the ball up pit. Convention center, and everyone's lining up exclusively to see Sophia, this torso woman without a wig.
Torso woman without a wig. Here's my conspiracy about Sophia. Do you want to hear it?
What? You think she's actually like controlled?
Yes!
Like the circle?
Yes!
Do you think she's controlled by
by
a human?
Yes. I don't. Yeah. I don't.
I believe
like,
it.
I think that like most of the like modern looking and acting robots invented by like genius men who've like worked on them for decades, I think most of them are just like animatronic, like Chuck E. Cheese characters with like a man behind there being like, you know,
one of those genius men is in another room, like controlling all the levers. Yeah, yes. I believe that. Yes. That's not hard to convince. You don't have to convince me. But like, yes, obviously.
That's also just like the easiest scam, because we feel like as a society we should be closer to having robots who do this, but we are not close at all. So to introduce these like robots, you're like, oh, you know, I made this amazing invention, and while it's still unbelievable, it's still something that we think we should have so that it should exist. It's easy to fool people with this stuff, I think, now. It's kind of like Elon Musk with the fucking cyber car. If you were like, it flew, I'd be like, 100%, I agree, and think it does fly, you know?
Well, the most advanced robots are the ones that are like the animals. What is it? The Boston Dynamics animals that are like the scary...
Right, they're about
the scary
movement.
Like wolves, and they're like... Right. And those are very intense, but those don't have like... Those don't have to communicate with language.
No.
And so it's like the moment we try to add language, like the scientists are like, I don't know. We don't know. Like brains, do you understand how complicated brains are? Like we can't compete with this brain power. And so then you just get Sophia.
And also like uncanny lifelike behavior is also something we're just like not good at. Like look at Avatar. We're not like good at getting so close to human behavior, but not close enough. We never get close enough.
I'm gonna play some Bjork here. The thing about, oh, you know what? Now I'm really thinking about it. Sophia not having a wig and you can see like her like brain. I think the reason they don't give her like a Carrie Matheson wig is because if she had a wig, people would
scared.
Be more.
Right.
People would be less convinced. They'd be like, I think someone's just controlling this woman. Like, I don't believe this. But if you show the brain, then you're like, oh, look, I can see all the insides. Look how complicated this machine is. It must be a real piece of AI. You know what I'm saying?
It would be scarier if she had a wig, too, because it would be even more uncanny to look like a person. Because she's kind of this bald woman, you're like, oh, this woman is slightly different than normal women. Even though, because you're not used to seeing a bald woman.
Yeah. I feel like the moment you put a wig on Sophia, she looks like Halsey. Because, like, you know how Halsey, like...
Why?
Always looks different? Halsey always looks different. Like, she's just a blank canvas is what I'm telling
you. Wow.
Like, nothing is... Like, none of Halsey's styling has ever been convincing to me because she
changes
it so frequently.
You're like, what does
Halsey
look like? You don't know.
It's sort of like how I used to feel with Rita.
Until you talked about her every day for 4 years. And then you're like, I could pick that woman out of a lineup of a million.
Or like any of Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriends?
Oh yeah, no, any of them I could not pick out of a lineup.
Okay.
That'd be a
next
fun
call.
Game.
Sophia, I'm glad that you met her. I would love to meet Sophia.
Me too.
I wouldn't wait in the line to meet Sophia, but I would love to meet
Sophia.
So
the next call, we have the two sides of the Jessica Simpson response, because I think a lot of people were not thrilled with our kind of dismissal of Jessica Simpson's memoir. They sensed that we weren't like big fans, which I think is true and something that we definitely said. We're not like shying away from the fact that we're not obsessed with Jessica Simpson. Right?
No.
So that obviously was a bias, but I still think we had a few points about kind of celebrity memoir writing. But I do think that this memoir, which we both have not read, full disclosure, was juicier than we gave it credit for. So let's play these two calls and we'll get a little bit.
Hi, Who Weekly. So I'm listening to you guys talk about the Jessica Simpson book. And while it is absurd, I feel that, like, this is definitely like a millennial podcast. And so, like, as a Gen Zer, I sound like a thousand-year-old person. I literally have no idea what Jessica Simpson or Nick Leahy have done. All I know really is that she once thought like a fish was chicken, but then it was immediately upstaged because Kylie Jenner thought a chicken was a goat, which is much more memorable. So maybe the book, my theory is for like the younger generation to get to know her, but I mean, I'm not going to read it. Maybe you're right. It's for no one. Crunch.
I know we pander to Gen Z because we want them to like us because we're old, but like, love this call so much.
Yeah.
Like, as a millennial who's like desperate for approval, I'm like, Gen Z, crunch. I love you. Okay, play the other one and then we'll talk.
Okay.
Hi, just had to pause the episode for today while you guys were talking about Jessica Simpson's book. Are you guys not getting the Gossip Guy emails? Because he's been sending out so many snippets from that book, and I think it seems so much juicier than expected. like apparently how her and Johnny Knoxville had this whole big thing, and more about her relationship with John Mayer. And I mean, it seems like a lot of juicy information that we would have never gotten otherwise. Also, she kind of makes it seem like Nick is borderline like emotionally abusive and kind of an asshole. So I will not blame her for not sending him the book in advance, because I mean, obviously he's not going to agree with the way he's portrayed in it. And if your dick ex, you know, was in a book, I think it's forgivable not to send it to them. Also, if he did send it, I wouldn't be surprised if he lied and said that he hasn't gotten it, or isn't going to read it. So that's out. Well, that's it. Good form, Bellator.
What are your thoughts? Your thoughts? Did we underestimate the juiciness of this book?
I don't know that we did. I mean,
are you going to read it now? I don't know. I'm like,
no.
Now I'm kind of
no,
like,
no, I'm not.
I'm still curious.
Maybe like it's taking all this to show my true colors. I really just don't give a shit about Jessica Simpson.
Right.
And to go back to the millennial angle of it all, which, yes, we're elderly millennials. The thing about Jessica Simpson is my recollection of Jessica Simpson, my experience with Jessica Simpson in suburban Texas in the early 2000s was that Jessica Simpson was always the one that didn't matter. Her only thing she had going for her were those two songs and her joke about chicken and fish. That's it. Like, Newlyweds was funny. The TV show was funny when it came out. I watched it. But she was always compared to Christina and Britney. She was always compared to them. She was She was never good enough. Even Mandy Moore, like, had... There was a time when she was like, oh, she wants to go the acting route, which ultimately that's sort of what she chose, even though she's still battling her singer-songwriter demons. But, like... I mean, didn't she just release an album? But it's like,
yeah, Jessica, I like a lot Simpson, of his songs.
my memory of her was that I never stand her, because I was always like, oh, you're the one that doesn't matter. You're the one I don't have to care about, because you're the one that didn't
win.
Well,
she was always slightly more Christian than the rest, which always made me uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. She was always, her musical talent was always questioned. There was always something a little bit uncomfortable about her belting, kind mm-hmm. of, that felt unnatural or whatever. And her storyline was also like one of like true pandering, it felt like, because she literally married the boy band guy. I mean, there mm-hmm. was, you know, and I guess
did not like her. That was the whole point of the show.
That's true. Was that like, he was
the
odd couple.
I'm miserable. And she's like, I don't care. And also, Jessica Simpson, the stage parent angle of Jessica Simpson, yeah, Joe Simpson has since like turned a corner into like sympathy land, but at the time Joe Simpson was like, I would, at least in my experience, like widely considered to be a monster. It was just an unpleasant place. Oh, her sister wants to be in there now. Like, it was sort of sad.
Right.
Then once Ashley fell from grace thanks to the Jude Law SNL, like, it was like, who cares about this family anymore?
Well, I guess you're making the argument as to like that you don't care, but you are also making the opposite argument as to there's much here to discuss. Like, there's a lot of drama here to dig into.
I realize that as I'm saying it, but I think ultimately I just don't. She's not someone I've been clamoring to read a memoir about, because even though it might be like full of gossip and full of like big revelations, I just have a feeling I can figure out what those are without having to read it.
Let's be real. The only memoir we want from that time and place is a clear-headed Britney Spears, which we are never, mm-hmm. ever no. going to get. I don't think no. ever, 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 ever. So like, it is weird. It is like second fiddle to have these like a Jessica Simpson, if we ever got a Christina Aguilera, if we got other people from that like time and era of like, if Justin Timberlake ever wrote one or like whatever, you know?
I'd read it. I would love to read a Kindle single memoir about Ashley Simpson, or a Kindle single
That's
memoir
true.
About
her
Jessica
story,
Simpson.
Well, Ashley Simpson's story, I think, would be...
Ashley's is fascinating. Like, it's... Yeah. There's probably not all that much to it, but it's sort of fascinating.
Wow. Okay, so I guess we're kind of making, like... We're kind of wavering on the point. It's more that we don't stan her, so we don't have any interest of reading this book. And I'm not sure.
And
I
even
like,
when she released, when we were wrong, she released her music as a what? As an audiobook extra. So her audiobook ends with a 6-song EP of new
weird.
Music.
It's a little weird.
It's a little which weird. Is a strange way to release an album. It's not on streaming yet.
Well, it's not an album. It's just like MP3s at the end of an MP3 file. Yeah.
But the song that she released, I was like, oh, right. Like, I can't stand your voice. I can't stand your musical style. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah,
and I guess that might be a little dismissive, but like, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. Nothing about her really fascinates me.
I just think like from that time, the Them's, there are certain people who stayed Them's, whose name recognition you might have. And then some people whose music or impact slid away enough to be considered a Who again. And Jessica Simpson, I mean, listen to this Gen Zer who called or whatever. But like, I'm just saying like her impact, if her impact is like chicken, or is this chicken or fish? Then we have a problem because she did have songs that were hits. But if you can't name I Want to Love You Forever or With You or my favorite, what is it? Girls Night Out? No, what's it called?
Public Affair.
Public Affair. You can't, if you can't name those, which I clearly can't name the last one, then yeah, totally. I mean, she's not, doesn't have a memorable music career. Sorry.
Yeah. I just feel like the party line, the Who Weekly party line is that we don't really give a shit about Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, we've made that clear.
And again, even though we were sort of aggressively like and profanely like, we don't give a shit about Jessica Simpson, I still don't think that's a value judgment. I think it's like there are too many other pop stars from that era that I care about more, and they will always outweigh her. You know, like, it's a generational bias that I will never overcome, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also, when we talk about young people versus old people having memoirs, we mean celebrities, not people in general. Obviously, young people can have experiences that, like, are valuable for writing memoirs. We mean celebrities. Like, we're not saying that, like, young people don't deserve to write memoirs. We're just saying celebrities. We're talking about celebrities. Okay. Let's move on.
Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is your typeface correspondent. I have my PhD in rhetoric and writing, and I teach classes at a university around how messages can use visual design in order to gain attention and circulation. And I wanted to call in about the No War in Iran Comic Sans dress and provide a little context. So Comic Sans has been used in protest movements before. The most famous one is the NBA wearing I Can't Breathe shirts to support Eric Garner's family after he got killed by police. And so Kobe Bryant, like LeBron James, like they all wore these shirts that said I Can't Breathe in Comic Sans. The shirts were designed by a firm in New York, so by skilled, talented folks. And the reason why they put them in Comic Sans, maybe as you've guessed, is so that people will talk about the shirt. So kind of like, they might not talk about the message, right? But they'll be like, oh my God, can you believe this shirt is in Comic Sans and LeBron is wearing it? What? But so the No War in Iran, it's a savvy kind of rhetorical move to put your protest message in Comic Sans just because it will circulate that message, even if it is through outrage about the typeface you chose.
I think that's fascinating, and I hadn't even considered it. And I was like, oh, we were talking about the font. That is a strategic move. And here's the expert who's literally written about Comic Sans is like an essential piece of like the protest handbook, I guess, or protest style guide.
It's cool.
I don't know. I thought that was
so when you see the Comic Sans and you're like, why Comic Sans? It's like literally for this reason.
Yeah. And like she said, it may not necessarily get the message across, but at least people are talking about it, which counts for something,
which is greater than
zero. Yeah.
Right. Which is good because like the message that was in Comic Sans was the good message, even if it was on the woman we didn't know.
And the message that was in Helvetica was kind of like the Helvetica message was a little more incendiary, but it also wasn't well designed because it was in Helvetica. I don't know. Really, I don't know. I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, these are also both like on dresses. So talking about fonts on dresses is like fat. You know, they're also not written on signs. Mm-hmm. You've got a whole different form here. We're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you for calling. Love it. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. we use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, Who Weekly. Medium time, second time caller. I am on Instagram right now, and I am seeing that Rumor Willis is selling her own furniture on her Instagram, and I really don't understand what that's about, so let's talk about it. Thanks. Bye.
We got two calls about this, which is actually pretty funny that two people
that's
called
a lot
about
of calls.
Two people who A, follow Rumor Willis on Instagram, and B, read the caption and were like, hold on a minute. Because okay.
Yeah,
this definitely showed
this?
Up on the feed. This definitely showed up on our feed because we follow them, and I absolutely scrolled right on past
we
it.
We follow all of the Willis children. We love the Willis children.
Talula, Scout,
I think Scout, I mean, they've kind of grown on me ever since the Demi memoir, like, press cycle. These three women, the daughters, I'm like, they're like, this is a charming family of pretty self-aware and, like, interesting women, right? Mm-hmm. And Demi and Bruce are also two, like, good celebrities, right?
I think so. Every time that question comes up, and I'm like, I think so. I'm like, what if I'm missing something?
From what I know, which is like, I'm not like an extensive Bruce Willis completist, but like, pretty sure. The point is that Rumor Willis is probably the most famous of the kids because she's done the most. Like, she was on Masked Singer. She did, right? Masked Singer. Yes,
She's done them. She's friends with lot of gay men in West Hollywood, you know, which have given her a lot of notoriety in gay West Hollywood circles.
But like, I think she's the oldest one. She was the one who kind of like went through all of the child of celebrity bullshit so the other two wouldn't have to, or like learned from her. I think
that's exactly what it is. That's exactly
She took all the opportunities you get when you're a child of two like pretty big celebrities, and it kind of didn't work out on any level, like the singing and the
people were mean to her,
right? Nothing really clicked or whatever, and so the other girls like saw her do this and were like, no. And I think she did them a big service, you know.
And I think that and as far as I can tell, they are true. They all get along, which,
as far as I can tell,
is good. There doesn't seem to be like any resentment there, but I think they are the sort of famous people, the celebrity people who truly are in a Kardashian way, like really tight with each other out of self-preservation. Like, it's like, you're kind of all we've got. Like, I gotta stay with you if I'm gonna keep my sanity, you know?
Right. But they also just seem like somewhat down to earth. Or because more as down to earth as you can be in this situation, maybe.
And it has been a long time since Bruce Willis, like, they were truly babies or not even born yet when Bruce and Demi were at their peak. But when Bruce and Demi were at their peak, it was huge. Like,
Brad and Angelina shit. Yeah.
It was Brad and Angelina adjacent, right? It was big, big, big stuff. And it's hard to remember that now. And I'm sure they barely even remember some of it, but that's definitely like been imprinted on their DNA in a way.
Right.
I don't know. But Rumor Willis.
This specific thing is not down to earth. Or it's too down to earth.
It's too down to earth.
The misguidedness of selling your Restoration Hardware nightstands on... Let me read you the caption and then you tell me what you think. Selling gorgeous nightstands from at Restoration Hardware, local pickup only, LA area. Please comment if interested and I will DM you. Okay. Here's the problem here. How many ways are there to sell your furniture? Even if you're not a celebrity. Okay, let's see. Craigslist. Let's see. In New York, there's this thing called Apartment Deco where you can just like put it up on their site and they deal with it for you.
And they deal with it.
You can sell it to somebody. You can, you know, they're just, and they'll sell it for you. You can, they're bring it to a store. They'll sell it for you. Like, there are just so many ways to sell furniture, like anonymously or like without literally saying, comment on my Instagram.
Or with a middleman you can pay.
Right. This is baffling because if I wanted to get Rumor Willis's attention, would I like offer to buy her Restoration Hardware nightstands?
Just to like scroll through so many comments. So many comments.
It just seems like a very misguided way to try and sell your furniture as a person of somewhat some notoriety.
The listing is still up. She has not sold these things.
What? But maybe because everyone who wants them is like DMs, says they want it. And then she DMs them and they're like, sorry, I'm in Kansas or whatever.
If you pick them up, she's probably like, I need you to wire me the money first or like Venmo me first before I give you my address.
This is so but silly. Like,
do you actually go to Rumor's house or does she meet you like in a parking lot outside of like Pink's?
I'm just
you know, like,
why not put them on Craigslist anonymously? And when the person shows up, oh, it's Rumor Willis, surprise. But like, why do this through here? It just seems.
Then we would get a great call. I saw these beautiful Restoration Hardware nightstands on Craigslist and I went to pick them up. And guess what? It was Rumor Willis and she was really nice.
Right.
They're ugly also. They are ugly.
Somebody commented, give it to someone for free, then get a real job. You are seriously selling furniture that your parents paid for? Tacky. Which is like, that's not even the problem with this. Like, I don't care who fucking bought them. Who cares?
And then Rumor says, at DDM Flower, actually, I bought all of this furniture with my own money that I made. I have been working since I was 17, but I still appreciate you obvious passion for my financial situation. If you have any other questions about my finance or my work, happy to answer any and all of them. I wish you light and love and have a great day.
Ooh, she got him.
Oh, the post was liked by Justin Makita.
Oh, of course.
Justin Makita.
Is that different than Justin Mitka? Huh? Isn't his name Justin Mitka? Who's Justin Makita?
Is Justin Makita not Jesse Tyler Ferguson's husband?
I thought
it's Jesse Tyler Ferguson's husband.
Oh, I didn't know that his last name was Makita.
Oh, we got a good call about Jesse Tyler Ferguson that we cannot play. Can I just tease it for you?
No.
It was amazing.
You can't because we're not playing it.
It was amazing.
Love that you fact-checked I've been working since I was 17. It's not like necessarily all movie stuff. She's done other things.
No, it says, I've been working since I was 17, but she's actually been working since she was 7. That's what I think is weird.
Well, because she was her in first, Now and Then.
Her first role was Now and Then as Gabby Hoffman's sister.
Right.
Then she was in Striptease as Demi Moore's daughter. Then she was in The Whole Nine Yards as Bruce Willis's daughter. Or I don't know, Bruce Willis.
Some
but
the, kid.
Her first four roles were all nepotism. So I just find it interesting that she was like, I've been working since I was 17, but it's like, yeah, and every role you had as a child was given to you in a movie that your parents starred in.
But I don't, okay, but you're kind of doing what the commenter is doing. I do think that she works and gets and does her own shit. It's just not movies starring her parents when she was 5.
I think so too, but also the celebrities refuse to acknowledge the step up that they've had. And I think that that's really common among children of celebrities. It's like, yeah, but I do my own thing. What do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, but they refuse to acknowledge the fact that their parents got them in the door. Always. 99% of the time, they refuse to acknowledge that their parents...
I mean, what is she supposed to say, though? If she's going to respond to
you
this,
say nothing.
Like, what is she supposed
to
say?
You don't respond to it.
Okay, well, that's the problem. Not that every time she's going to say, well, I recognize the step up that I got from my parents,
There is a huge swath of celebrities who just do not respond to this stuff. And guess what? No one cares about them. No one writes about them.
So that's
your point.
It's
so easy to not to respond to this stuff. We think that it's the default, but the default, I really believe, is just not fucking talking.
Well,
but the people who do talk are too loud.
Okay, yeah. I mean, sure. I don't really give a shit that Rumor Willis isn't like over out here being like, I'd like to thank my parents. It's like, we know who her parents are and whatever. But it's not like she's getting the type of public-facing work that has her in the spotlight long enough to be, like, having to recognize her parents for their nepotism help, is what I'm saying.
I agree with that.
This is boring, though. We should move on.
Please talk about Jamila Jamil's No Staff whatever. It's not an apology. I don't know. Thanks. Bye.
Very, 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 very wild. This is a multi-part thing. Another one, like a classic moment of good thing we waited to talk about this because it just got bigger. Jameela Jamil was revealed.
It's,
so the good
so
place
infuriating.
Ended. Important. So context. The Good Place just ended. Jameela Jamil's weekly network TV show is no longer on the air, right? So Jameela Jamil has more time. So she's right. Sort of looking for her next thing. Okay. There's this new show on HBO Max called Legendary, and it's a voguing competition series. HBO Max is the new, like, streaming-only HBO platform thing. Anyway, so Deadline announces, HBO Max has set Jameela Jamil as MC and judge of its upcoming voguing competition series, Legendary, on February 4th. On February 4th, it was not public knowledge, or at least explicit public knowledge, that Jameela Jamil was a queer woman. Trace Lissette quote tweets this and says, LOL, I interviewed for this gig. As the mother of a house for nearly a decade, it's kind of mind-blowing, I'm assuming, when people with no connection to our culture get the gig. This is not shade towards Jameela. I love all that she stands for. If anything, I question the decision makers. So this is Trace Lissette, a trans woman and like drag person, like person steeped in drag culture, who worked in drag culture, who was like worked in ballrooms and has a life there, is like, funny to me that people who have no sense of what ballroom culture is, have no sense of what voguing is, get the jobs that really should go to people like me.
But also, when they announced it, it was confusing as to who was involved and what their roles were. So they mm-hmm. announced a bunch of names of people who were involved in ballroom, you know? Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm not very familiar with, like, a lot of these people because I don't know a ton about voguing and ballroom. I know more about, like, Drag Race from RuPaul and various places. But Deshaun Wesley's on, who's on Pose, and then Mike Q. He composed for Kiki. You know that movie, Kiki?
Oh, yeah,
that was pretty good. So those two were involved, as well as Jameela, and they had these different roles. Like, they're like judges, MCs, and hosts. Like, all are different. And the MC is like the person who like announces the ballroom show versus the mm-hmm. host of the actual show, which might be two different people. It was misreported that Jameela was the MC. She was like, I'm not the MC, right? So first there were like kind of layers of miscommunication. And also somehow Megan Thee Stallion's involved. Also, it's produced by the men who did Queer Eye. That's another thing, is like they're the ones making this show, which like you can decide how you feel about that. And the point is that all of these people kind of speak up against Jameela being a part of this show in a prominent way. And she kind of doesn't say anything for a while. But you know mm-hmm. she's going to say something because it's like literally her thing.
Yeah.
And what she says is even wilder than we ever expected, is the...
The other judges are, at the time that this was announced, the other judges who were announced were Megan Thee Stallion, Law Roach, and Leomi Maldonado. And Maldonado is a trans woman, and is an actual dancer. So there mm-hmm. was like, and Law Roach is a stylist, like there's a fashion element there. Megan Thee Stallion is sort of as baffling as Jameela Jamil, to be honest, but whatever. This sort of starts a minor little uproar. People are like, oh, here's Jameela Jamil, like patron saint of wokeness, doing this thing that is sort of like decidedly unwoke, I guess. So Jameela responds to the Deadline tweet, which is the thing that went viral, and said, hi, Deadline, please credit Deshaun Wesley as the MC. I'm a judge. Okay, so she's saying, I'm just a judge. Then come to find out,
she's also the executive producer, by the way.
We didn't know this at the time.
Right, okay.
So she's saying, I'm just a lowly judge on this show. Like, please change the thing. So they change the thing. Then, I guess due to all of the uproar, Jameela Jamil responds to all of it with a notes app, and her notes app reveals that she is queer. She comes out as queer in a notes app. The name of this notes app, it's three screenshots, is Twitter is brutal. And this was the next day, February 5th. This is why I never officially came out as queer. I added a rainbow to my name when I felt ready a few years ago, as it's not easy within the South Asian community to be accepted, and I always answered honestly if ever straight up asked about it on Twitter, but I kept it low because I was scared of the pain of being accused of performative bandwagon jumping over something that caused me a lot of confusion, fear, and turmoil when I was a kid. So she talks about her story, like why she never came out as a kid, blah, 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 blah. Then she says, I know that my being queer doesn't qualify me as ballroom, but I have privilege and power and a large following to bring to this show, as does the absolutely iconic Megan Thee Stallion, which is absolutely like her reminding people, I'm not the only one, I'm not the only one, I'm not the only one who has an association, and its beautiful contestants and ballroom hosts. Sometimes it takes those with more power to help get a show off the ground so that we can elevate marginalized stars and give them the limelight and give them a chance. That leads to a whole series of Twitter threads that have been tweeted by people who are accusing her of like always having people on to like elevate their community and then sort of dumping on them in the end. So her using language of like, I have power and I can elevate them is like very, very typical for Jamila at this point.
But here's the thing, like everything about this statement minus the oh and I'm queer thing is the kind of thing that I would have guessed that she would have put out there, you know, hey, we're trying to get this show made. Mm-hmm. It needed big names. I have a relatively big name. Megan Thee Stallion has a relatively big name at this point. We are the like star power to push the show to get made, which like I would say is like, yes, can be disappointing, but also like
is the truth.
And like when you try and sell a show, you quickly learn that like the name associated with it or the names are the number one thing about it that would get it made.
So that happens, including your name. People sort of quiet down for like a hot minute, but the person who doesn't quiet down is Trace Lissette. We haven't even talked about Trace Lissette. I think is best known for being on Transparent and Hustlers, I would say.
Hustlers,
right?
Like that's her. Those are her biggest things. She's good in Hustlers.
So she says, meanwhile, the night that Jamila comes out, which is like 3 hours after Jamila comes out, Trace tweets, meanwhile, a ballroom elder who will remain nameless is still fighting for producing credit for putting the structure of the show together, categories, etc. And Jamila is the executive producer, along with two cis white guys who produced Queer Eye.
Right.
So Trace is like, okay, Jamila, you can explain all of this away, but you still haven't revealed that you are the executive producer of this show, which means you have like this, like you are the one who is making the money off of this show. You and two white guys are making the decisions and the money.
But this is like normal structure of how a show gets made, unfortunately. Like you see produce, executive produced by, because that's the like bone they throw you when they want to pay you less but give you more of like involvement in the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's like my thought when I saw that. But also it's like, there is something to me so, and how do I say this without like whatever, but it's a little manipulative for Jamila Jamil to use this time to come out as queer.
I thought the same thing. And mainly because like, I think the most important thing is that being queer does not make you an expert in all things queer. Right. Like being like the term queer is this umbrella term for that could mean all sorts of things to all sorts of people. And to use it as the end all be all explanation of why you are more qualified to do this than someone who is not queer is so unfair. It is manipulative.
Why does she say, I know that being queer doesn't qualify me as ballroom? But that negates the entire thing. Like,
it negates everything. I am in no way qualified to host a show on like anything related to ballroom just because I've seen like Paris is Burning and have a pretty general sense of what like voguing and what drag culture is all about. But it's like, just because I'm gay as a picnic basket does not make me a ballroom expert. You know what I'm saying? And also, like,
I've never heard that phrase before.
One of the most underappreciated virtues of power is the power to say no. And Jamila Jamil is in the position to be able to say no and be fine. And she refused. So this was a great learning moment for her and a great teaching moment for her to be like, you know what? Power works both ways. I can refuse this job and let it go to someone more qualified. And that is how I will use wokeness to my own advantage. Because guess what? That would improve her brand. And that's all she wants.
I do understand the cynical view of like, you do need somebody who's recognizable to push the show.
Of course.
Like, you do need a big face, right? Like, Drag Race is so lucky that RuPaul was already kind of a pop culture figure to push Drag Race, right? Like, RuPaul made sense for Drag Race and also was somebody who would help sell the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially like on logo, where it launched, et cetera, et cetera. But this is like launching in, you know, a place where there's going to be a lot of competition, where So I do fully understand why they need like a Jamila Jamil, to be fair, who's not even that vape, like whose face isn't even going to do much for them.
That's, I think, the thing that your argument is really, really great. And I think the only thing that ruins it is that Jamila Jamil is not famous
It's just fascinating how this woman manages to say the right words, but almost in the wrong order. I don't say that like, that's like more of like me kind of generalizing what she does, but She cares about a lot of important things, but the way that she expresses that care always comes out uncomfortable, right? I mean, she criticizes the Kardashians, but she does it in a way that is shamey and not, you know, kind of in tune with like the way that we talk about that stuff, even though it's important to talk about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that to be fair to her, to give her the benefit of the doubt, one of the things that does not work in her favor is that the character, the only actual character she's ever played, which makes it her most iconic character, the reason she is famous is for playing this sort of vapid, self-obsessed asshole. And I think it's very hard for people to separate that character from her. And we're willing to, I don't know, like confirmation bias, we're willing to visualize her as Tahani first, you know? Like we will always see her as Tahani, and that does not work in her favor. And I will give her credit for that. Like she's trying to distance herself from this character who in the end was vindicated. But like, it must be tough for her. And it must be tough for her to come out. The sexuality has nothing to do with it. And that's exactly what Trace was trying to say on her Twitter threads and her tweets. Yeah. It was like, we are not talking about your sexuality. We are talking about your inexperience in this thing. When so many other people who are experienced have to go through gatekeepers who are people like you to get their voices heard. And she is hearing all of this stuff and refusing to acknowledge it. And instead, what is she doing? She's saying, well, I'm queer. She's talking about herself again. And like, I know it's coming out and I know that it's tough. God knows. But I'm saying, instead of talking about the other people, she turns it into another opportunity to talk about herself. You know? And it's like, okay, that's fucked up. Yes. That is what's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still think that this is, we've only begun to see the people being mad at her, because there's already been this like sexuality educator, speaker, breast cancer survivor, podcast host, Erica Hart. She posted this thread last night, also on Twitter, after Trace's thing went up. And it's not like the most like exciting thing, but she basically did this really long thread that speaks to Jameela's character, in that she's like, Jameela wanted me on this show, her show called I Weigh, that's about body positivity. And Erica's like,
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, I've never talked about body positivity before, but like, whatever. But then she said, she told me she's ignorant. She wants to learn and give me a platform because hers is huge. But then after that, she immediately announces that she's going to have Rose McGowan on. And then Erica is like, Rose McGowan is like a transphobic person. Like, this makes me uncomfortable. And then Jameela like goes back on her and is like, just read this thread. We'll link to it in the thing. But it's like, I think more of these sorts of character complaints about Jameela are going to come out, and it's going to force Jameela to, if not step down, like reexamine her role in the thing. And I think it should, because that is what Jameela's brand is. It's learning from mistakes. Sure, if your whole thing is let's not cancel each other immediately and learn from it, then fucking learn from your mistake and figure it out and make the show really good. And I'm sorry, I refuse to believe that the show will be as good with Jameela in that role than it would with an actual member of like a house there, or like someone with a ballroom experience. And the immediate comparison that we have here is, it's just because it's top of mind to me, is Project Runway. And Project Runway's judges are absolutely fashion adjacent. You've got a designer, you've got people who are journalists, at least, who write about fashion for a living. Jameela has nothing to do with ballroom culture. Heidi Klum was the host. She was a model.
Our friend brought up, like, there was this drama where Drag Race Germany was announced as being hosted by Heidi Klum. And it was, like, this kind of big outroar. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I don't even know if she kind of responded in a very, like, weird way, right? Like, it's all about my platform, you know? And not enough thought about kind of, like, yeah, but if you get up on the platform and people are seeing you on the platform, what are you even doing on the platform? Does that even matter, you know? Yeah. So I guess it's like, for Drag Race, it's different because that show is going to be made no matter what, because it's a popular show in the U.S. and they're spinning it off, right? But for this show, would this show have been made without Jameela attached? Probably. There maybe would have been a better, you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. Or it's like, what are the better options, right? Even if Megan Thee Stallion isn't any more attached to ballroom than Jameela, there's a reason why Megan Thee Stallion isn't more getting well, but it's also there's a reason why she's not getting the backlash that Jamila is.
But Jamila has positioned herself to be the person that is the brunt of stuff like this because she wants to be the one to have these conversations. Exactly. That is her brand.
Exactly.
And also the thing about Drag Race is Heidi Klum doesn't fucking matter. Heidi Klum did not need to be on that show. People like Drag Race because of the cast, because of the stars, you know? Like,
yeah.
It didn't need to be Heidi Klum. It could have been anyone. And they have Conchita mm-hmm. there. Conchita's huge. Conchita's enough.
She speaks German.
She speaks German. I don't speak
Conchita,
German.
Conchita is enough. Conchita is enough. Conchita's the perfect, like, person for that.
That's literally like, oh, Bobby, you want to go host Drag Race Germany because you think Shiza is an underrated Gaga bop? It's like, that's the same as Heidi Klum.
He got the call. Okay, we have to stop talking about this.
Okay, next call. Let's move on to something fun.
I don't speak German, but I can if you like.
Ich liebe auch zu be clear. Ich glaube, mein Mutter muss der. Alles wie Angst kann mich fragen, wie kann mich ausgebaut werden.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is Walter, Medium Time. I just wanted to alert you to an article on People.com in the human interest section. It's a People exclusive, and it's titled, Sheryl Sandberg is engaged to Tom Bernthal after being set up by her late husband's brother. The entire article, I would say, is an extremely rich year 2020 text with a really nice Who shout out in the kicker. So yeah, who is Tom Bernthal? And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Whoa.
After splitting from Bobby Kotick after 3 years of dating, she and Bernthal, whose brother is the Punisher star John Bernthal, made their public debut as a couple in July at a Garth Brooks concert in Idaho.
This was the kicker of the whole buildup to this was like, what? Who is this guy? Who cares? Da, da, da. And then it's like, the kicker is his brother is John Bernthal from the Punisher.
And he's like a tech guy.
The guy that she's marrying, Tom Bernthal, yes, his brother.
Yes,
yeah, he does. Yes, he does something.
Yes,
Sheryl Sandberg getting the People magazine exclusive photos for being engaged is like truly kind of repulsive to me. Sorry.
No, it's cursed, and it's okay. It's the sleaziest stuff. It's like, oh, she is widely considered to be like a huge tech monster, like nightmare person.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay was like, don't shut down our Facebook group, and it's like, also shut down our Facebook group if you want to. Fine, whatever.
No,
the hooligans will out. Well, no, we'll riot, and they'll find
down.
Somewhere
don't
else.
Don't ask for them to shut.
What
don't.
I'm saying is, I'm not asking them to, but I'm saying if they did, the hooligans are resilient, they are clever, and they will think of something better. We'll have Who Book before you know it, and it won't be evil.
Even a lot of the hooligans that are in the Facebook group know that Facebook is evil. That's all.
You might look at this and say, why is this, you know, is she a billionaire? Point is, she's Silicon Valley royalty. She's top tier Silicon Valley royalty. She's like peak one percenter. And why is she getting People exclusive photos when she is not a true like entertainment celebrity? She's a tech celebrity. This is very strange. What's happening here? And she's not even marrying the Punisher. She's marrying the Punisher's tech brother. So like, why is this happening? It's happening to soften her image. It's just so fucking transparent that she's doing this to make herself seem like a cool celebrity. I'm a cool mom. I'm a normal mom, whatever it is. And it's really nasty. It's like, you suck.
Yeah, it's very Facebook PR. Like, it's very
PR.
Say, can you? Because like, it's the article's also so much about like the charity work that they do and like. This is how they met, and yeah, it's like it's.
But my favorite thing about the way they quoted the so they quoted what Sheryl said to Tom and what Tom said to Sheryl in the Facebook post about it. But what's funny about it is that when you tag someone on Facebook, you use the whole name, so there's a formality there that's extremely hilarious. And so Sheryl's post is engaged. Tom Bernthal, you are my everything. I could not love you more.
Full name.
And then Tom replied to the comment, Sheryl Sandberg, I love you so much and couldn't be more excited about spending the rest of our lives together. So you have to know that when you read this, because like if you had seen it in context with the link, it may have been less hilarious, but as just normal copy, it's very, very funny. So I have this, it's like, who is Tom Bernthal? There's nothing interesting about him. He's just a Silicon Valley guy. I tried to find something interesting about him and I couldn't. The most interesting thing about it is that his brother is John Bernthal.
Well, most interesting to us, let's be, yeah.
So if you listen to Yes, if you listen to the Patreon episode, you will know. I will give the abridged version. I gave Lindsay this really, really, really long recap of an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm recently, and I felt like a maniac after I was done. Like, I spent 20 minutes telling her the entire plot of a 30-minute episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And
to be fair, I just, like, I really knew that, like, he had to just let it happen.
You were like, you were letting me do it. You're like, Lindsay's, like, cooking breakfast. Like, Okay.
I mean, the AirPods really let me fluidly go through my life while you explain episodes of Curb to me.
We were talking about how Curb the season is sort of problematic, and it would be very funny if they took out the Me Too stuff. Like, why can't they just focus on the societal stuff? And Lindsay very, like, smartly was like, well, like, this is a show for, like, boomer men. Like, they are like, yeah, like, Larry David, like, yeah. Yeah, Larry David is great. Like, yeah, he's
right. It's like he gets away with everything.
He gets no respect.
I also get mad about stupid shit.
I hate me too. I hate all this crap. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah. So this photo that was a photo used in the New York Times announcement of their engagement, and I think it's an old photo because it's his old office because there's photos of his ex-wife on the bookshelf.
Oh my God.
But look at the bookshelf and tell me what you see in a framed photo.
Oh God! It's Larry David.
He has a framed screen grab from the episode where he's going to the carpool lane with the sex worker. Yeah, the carpool. Oh my God. The carpool lane.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, that's the guy. There
he
is.
So this is the guy. So now we have everything we need to know about the guy. He's a proud and show-offy Curb Your Enthusiasm fan.
I like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I would never put Curb Your Enthusiasm.
But you're not a show-off. That's not your. You like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but that's not part of your personality.
I'm just saying the type of guy who puts a framed photo of Larry David in his office proudly beside the framed photos of his children and wife is the type of person who would see the cover of Lean In and make fun of it. So I'm just like, what is he doing with Sheryl Sandberg?
Right. Well. Giving
I mean,
charity.
She's a phony baloney as well. Yeah, but she really whatever. Is. Okay, she's a phony baloney, and Lena is a scam. Now, let's move on to the next one. Megan and G-Eazy. Let's skip
this.
Let's skip it.
We just did Megan. We like already talked about Megan. Do we have any who thems to do?
We should do a lot of who thems, but this is really funny. Hold on. We're not going to do a full thing of who thems. We'll do it at some point.
You just want to do this one who them?
This one is really funny because it's not a who them. It's actually interesting. Just listen.
A thought experiment?
Yeah. Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince. Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/who.
Hi, Who Weekly. Okay, so Laura Dern, obviously a them. Laura Linney, however, I constantly confuse Laura Linney with Laura Dern. Does that mean that Laura Linney is possibly a them by virtue of association? Laura Linney, who are them? Crunch, crunch.
So it's because if this person is looking at a photo of Laura Dern or like, oh, I loved Laura Linney in Marriage Story. Oh, wait, I mean Laura Dern. Does that mean Laura Linney is a them?
No, it doesn't. No? But Laura Linney is a them. Her mix-up does not make Laura.
I knew you were going to say that. And I think she is a them because of it.
I don't think that you get confused for someone you are them, though.
I don't think you even make that confusion unless you are a them.
Well, she's like, oh, Laura Dern's a them, but I confuse her for Laura Linney. So, like, who's the them? Who's the who, you know?
I don't confuse Laura Dern for Laura Prep. She doesn't confuse her for Laura Prepon. She doesn't confuse her for Laura
Conrad.
So you're
Conrad, saying both of them are thems because they're getting confused for each other?
Mm-hmm.
But we always say the opposite, which is if you get confused by it for someone, you're a who, which would make Laura Dern a who.
I think it's a very specific set of circumstances. So it's like, it's because the names are the same, too.
But Laura Linney is a them.
You're confusing one famous Laura with a famous Laura.
Laura Linney
I really can't think of
them,
any other
though.
Instances of this. I think it makes you a them. Laura Linney is a them. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but we agree.
Yes, but what I'm saying is the cause of this is that this very specific set of circumstances can only exist if both of the people involved are pre-existing thems. If your pre-existing condition is you are a them.
I'm like a little confused as to what your point is here, but like, sure.
I think I am too, actually.
Like, I'm not sure you know what point you're trying to make, but like,
I'm like
these
very
women are
kombucha
both
girl face right now. Like,
yeah, I think you don't know what you're trying to say, but I think it's fine that we had this conversation because Laura Linney's a them. So, like, I think that's fine.
Okay. We're done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Them, Who's There. It was so much fun to do this. We love recording podcasts for you, and that's why we record so many of them. We record so many of them, and they're all on patreon.com/whoweekly. You can sign up. Just $5.
Well, the extra ones. The others are here.
Yeah, the extra ones.
Our Patreon just got, like, way more full of shit. So, like, I don't know if you checked it out before and you maybe were like, not for me, not enough shit. I would recommend that you go back if you're like, we're holding off on doing it. Maybe you weren't as into the podcast as you could be and now you're, like, super fan. Go to the Patreon. Check out how much shit we have there because we have so much shit.
One, like, 30-minute, like full-length bonus episode every week and then four, like, 5-minute daily episodes that are just, like, special and new, whatever. You can
and
read
are
more
thems, maybe? There's more information there. Yeah, go
it's
check it
out. It's more
themmy.
The short ones are more themmy because we don't want them to overlap with the main show.
But just go check it out because, like, there's just so much more shit. And so maybe you need to rethink your strat on Patreon, which is paying us, you know?
Yeah. What else? Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on Patreon. I already said that. Oh, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That would be iconic. And what else is there to say? Call us at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, concerns. And lastly, but most importantly, have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
The touch, the feel of this baby, the product of my womb. That sounds really great. Chanel would announce her the birth of her child. Okay.
Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8/7 Central or stream free the next day on the CW app.